Open in the first one. Do not be afraid, Open. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Open said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is a eager from the master. And Open said, you have given me no token, so the things of my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go eat with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family from here. Abram agreed. So what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave it to her husband to be his wife. She slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress.
Morning. One more time. So we shouldn't come with that. No, we shouldn't. There's an old family house. This way, change of machinery. I looked up over my message the last time I spoke, just before I left. You know, that time that I was leaving to be goodbye, I love you, and yes? And that was about waiting. And I got to see this, and I'm going, I said, that's interesting. Today we want to talk about God's timing. You know, there's an old saying that goes that timing is everything. Similarly, the saying goes that good things come to them that wait. It's the title of my Facebook post when I finally announced my visa. And a lot of us here are waiting for things. As a congregation, we're waiting for a new minister. As individuals, some of us are waiting for borders to open. We've got friends and family overseas that we're longing to see. Some of us are waiting for vaccination appointments to come through. For others, it's jobs. It's the end of a school year or the end of a semester so we can finally move on with that last paper that we needed to finish. But how long do we wait? How long can we wait for God to fulfill a promise in our lives? How long can we trust God that when He promises you something, something that seems impossible? In today's reading, we see that Abram, Abraham, struggled when things didn't go as planned. It's interesting, it just occurred to me as I was reading that verse that he talks about, it's almost like he was sort of speaking what he thought it was going to be. But you know, my servant will become my heir. And we almost lived that out, but we read about a little bit later on. But we see, as he's facing what seemed impossible, God has promised him and his wife, who was beyond childbearing years, you know the story, that she would have a child. It's a nice promise. But did you catch in that verse there? 10 years had gone on. 10 years since the promise had been given, 10 years had gone on, and still nothing had happened. And so his wife catches a pain. We'll give God a hand. We'll just give God just a little nudge in the right direction, shall we? You know? Instead of being patient and waiting for God, he lets Abraham know that he might just spend time and be with her maidservant, with Hagar. To see that up conceiving and from then on, Sarah and of course Hagar, they have this consensus relationship and we all know where it all goes, and as we look at the Middle East now, we can still see where it still goes. But I wonder how many times in our lives when God has been, or seems to be, slow to us, have we pulled a Hagar? How many times have we just had to God a little nudge in the right direction? Try to give God a helping hand. because writing is hard. Can you play that video quick, please?
Here's the deal. Nice one for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so you don't have to. Just stay in here and stay in your chair while I come back, okay?
A review of a very famous parapsychology experiment that they did, and they said that the conclusion they drew from it was the proving that they're able to resist in later life to go on and have more resilience, and to go further in life than those kids who are like, anyway, everything is hard. Everything is hard. It's hard enough, and it's difficult when we've done everything. We feel like we've done all the right things, and yet still nothing happens. You feel like you've done everything God asked to do, and yet still what we're waiting for hasn't occurred. Delay, silence, and activity can make waiting even more excruciating. When waiting goes on for days, for weeks, for months, our hearts can grow weary and become filled with an utter sense of hopelessness. Enduring such agony in our hearts, our belief and our hope can begin to lose its strength. Without the grace of God, you may begin to sink into the fear. Do you know what it's like to wait, to have God's promise to you, to hold out for it, and to still not see it come to completion yet? But as we read through the scriptures, we see time and time again that even when God seems silent, and it seems like God is doing nothing, and it seemed like he was an actor. God is getting things ready for his appointed time. Whether it was placing Joseph in Pharaoh's prison or Esther in the king's court, God is at work preparing for the right time, preparing for his time. God always knows the best time. He always chose the best time. You see in Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18, that when he's describing how the Israelites left Egypt, it says that when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on a road to the Philistine country, though it was shorter. So God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. And so God led the people around by the desert road towards the Black Sea. Sorry, towards the Black Sea. You see, I've got the name on the bank. Towards the Red Sea. I don't even know these words. God led the Israelites the longer, the harder way on their journey to the promised land because he knew that they weren't really here. There was time for their training, there had to be a time for them to come to that place where they could fully rely on God. You know, they wasted a lot of time wandering around in desert. I'm thinking they also wasted a lot of time wondering about God's timing. When would they ever see what he had promised them? When would they see the promised land that he had proclaimed? But they had to learn that God was faithful. He never once failed them and he always provided for them. When we seem to be stuck wandering about in our own wilderness, and we feel like God's not there for us, we can trust him, we can trust his timing, even if he doesn't immediately change the situation that we've been asking for. Just because we don't see anything, it doesn't mean that God hasn't heard us, because we know he has. We can put our trust in the Lord and into God's hands. Proverbs, we all know this one, it reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will, I love that word, he will make your path straight. He will direct your path. Right? You need to remember that God is always on time. There will be situations in God's timing leaves us frustrated and full of questions. But remember, what is the first verse in the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. He was there before time was created. He was there before time even began. He created time. He was the master of time. His timing is perfect. He is never late. He is always at work for us. He's willing to act according to his good purpose. And dare I say it, he's willing to act according to his timing. He makes all things beautiful in his time, Ecclesiastes says it. We need to remember that God is patient. In 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. If the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as so many discern slowness, but instead he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, what we might see as a slow response, and therefore as evidence that God's not listening, that God's for some reason given up on us, may in fact be evidence but it's not God that's taking this time. And it's actually us that need to learn to be more patient with him. The action of patience is an expression of trust and faith. The action of patience is an expression of trust and faith. True faith grows in a crucible of waiting. When Peter wrote those words, he was encouraging the believers who were facing persecution and wanted deliverance. He was also wanting them to realize that the time frame for Jesus' return was not a delay, even though they felt like it was. We might think that God is slow to respond to us, or maybe even not listening. We want answers to prayers today, or at very least tomorrow. And if it switches on past that, it becomes painful. But God understands that what we seem to say, that what seems like slowness to us, he knows what that's like. He understands that because in fact he is waiting for us. As we sit there going, come on God, why not now? How many times has God been here without you going, why not now? You can take comfort knowing that he's been patient for us. think they are enticing. Because like, let's say you could explain your stories in the Bible about the people who are waiting a long time. Abraham and Sarah, they wait for child, Joseph in slavery in prison, the Israelites for the promised land, Job suffering, Mary and Martha waiting inside Lazarus and Bethsaida, waiting for Jesus to come. For the disciples, I mean, why did Jesus wait for almost the dawn before he decided to go for a walk out on the sea while the disciples were facing the storm? Because Jesus always comes. God always comes at the right time. God is not limited or restricted by time. We need to be patient and wait on the moon and his waiting. Learning to wait on God has been a huge part of my journey to Romania. You're probably all aware that I've spent the last year waiting to be able to return to Romania after being forced back because of COVID. Many of you, thankfully, have graciously walked beside me, continued to support me, have waited with me for borders to open and visas to be granted. As you said, the third of June. Many of you probably remember my first trip to Romania. It seems like a long time ago now, 2017. Okay, and the journey since then has brought me to a place of knowing that this is where God called me to. And not many of you might know that my call to Romania, my relationship with Romania in a way, goes back before that. Goes back way back 37 years before that. The year was 1990. December previously, the revolution in Romania had toppled the dictatorship in the Slovak history. And early in the 1990s, the Western media got into Romania. And many of you probably saw the documentary on Romanian orphanages. Who remembers way back again that documentary on Romanian orphanages? Yeah, it was such a stark thing. If you didn't see it, I'm not going to tell you to go look for it because it's pretty horrendous. But it formed a picture of what so many of us hold for Romania. And that even these days, when I tell people I'm going to Romania, the question I usually get asked are you going to work in an orphanage? Because for most people, that's pretty much what they hold of Romania. That expose that they saw back then in the 1990s. But as I watched that expose, being a person who obviously has a heart for children, I said to the Lord, tell it then. Lord, if you need me to, I will go to Romania in 1990. And I know God heard that prayer and I know he took it seriously. But despite the sincerity of my heart then, he knew I wasn't ready. Thankfully these two down here are still in it. Could have been back then, I could have been back to Romania. He knew I wasn't ready. And yeah, I thought he was telling me Romania wasn't ready. God in his wisdom, despite my zeal, despite my enthusiasm, knew that the time wasn't right. But God never forgot that prayer. He never forgot that pledge. And now the timing is right, and I am just weeks, 18 days in fact, away from seeing that come to fruition. God never forgets you, he never forgets the prayers, and he never forgets his promises to you. He can always be trusted, we can always trust his timing, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. We might think we know this, we might think, yeah, but God, yep, now it's good, now it's good, look. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 remind us, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Compared to God, what do we know? I found an illustration that says, compared to God's knowledge, you know, if you picture God's knowledge and our knowledge, you take a piece of paper, and you put a pencil dot in the middle of it. Our knowledge represents the pencil dot. The rest of the paper represents God's knowledge. But in truth, we'd need a piece of paper the size of the whole universe. But our doubt wouldn't change. And for some of us, let's be honest, there are days when even a pencil dot, it's just a little bit too much. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God's knowledge and wisdom far outgoes and is far greater than ours. So when we question God's timing and we're trying to make him fit into our time, we're trying to say, God, you know better. We're all familiar, of course, with Jeremiah 29:11. So I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Plans for good, not for evil. We love these words. And they're almost a Christian cliche. You know, they get recited at nearly every baptism, every second youth service, somebody will bring out there from the Lord. It's a good word. But God spoke these words to the Israelites throughout the time in exile in Babylon. In the verse immediately preceding this, God had informed them that they would be spending a total of 70 years in exile. God's plan for them included more enslavement. I doubt that that's what they wanted to hear, but then he still promises them hope and a future. Regardless of how we see God's plan for us, they are always good. Sometimes that good is learning to persevere through trials. He uses trials to mold and to shape our character to build a better version of us. Romans 5:3-5 says, "For we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And if hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out to us through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God never promised us that our lives would be without pain or hardship. In fact, he spoke the opposite. Not only do we usually hear sermons on, but in John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." That's an encouraging promise, that one. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." A friend of mine, who's now living in Australia, we were texting back and forth yesterday morning, and she's going through some really hard times, and she's like, she said to me in a text, she says, "You know, I just want a peace." And I said, "What peace? What peace? The peace they talk about that comes from God." And I just relate a little bit of my story, not my manual story, but, you know, all the things that I've been through in my life, my car crashes, my broken legs, and blood thing, divorces, all that stuff that's been through. You see, she's just been saved the whole come to Jesus and everything will be sweet, God. Life's not like that. Life's not like that. The hope we have goes beyond the situation, goes beyond the circumstances. We live in a fallen, broken world. We can't escape suffering. We go through it. It's an unfortunate reality we all can accept. But God never forgets about us. He always promises us hope. And it's this hope that empowers us to continue to trust and continue to wait, knowing that when the time is right, the promised solution will come to pass. Hope is powerful. Now, spoiler alert, this next illustration, if you like rough, you might not like this next illustration. If you don't like rough, you might enjoy it. I got this story on a Facebook post from, some of you remember Nicky from the Salvation Army, who's now ministering in the world. He shared this in a post. He says, "A group of studies at Harvard in the 1950s, Dr. Kurt Ripper placed rocks in a pool of water, just how long they could tread water." He probably got, you know, paid a sponsorship for that too. "On average, they would give up and sink and drown after 15 minutes. So then, you know, repeated the experiment second time, right before they actually due to give up from exhaustion, the researchers would pop them out, dry them off, let them take a few minutes to rest, and then put them back in for a second round. The second time around, how long do you think the rats survived? I think the same, another 7 minutes? Huh? Anybody think maybe 15, 2, 5, 30 minutes? 60 hours. 60 hours. Even the posters, that is not a mistake. 60 hours. And even something online and research it, and it, yeah, this is just real. The conclusion that he drew was, since the rats believed that they would eventually be rescued, they could push their bodies past what they previously thought impossible. But is the power of hope. And if hope can cause an exhausted rat to swim long beyond what anyone would expect, how much more can the hope of God's solution help us to persevere? Trusting God's timing always comes with the promise of hope, no matter what our circumstances. So as I was preparing for this message, I did obviously a lot of study reading around and different things and looked online, and you know, what is waiting for God look like? What are the practical things that we can do as we wait for God? And as I looked around, I sort of disseminated them down into this list. And the first one, surprise, surprise, is less. When you feel in a hurry to move or to force things forward and decide that you can't trust his timing, remember the words of Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. In fact, if you go and read through all of Psalm 27, it's David's response in the midst of trouble. David puts his faith, he speaks about his gracious, and God being his light, being his salvation, being his stronghold. So going along with that, our second one is to pray. Pray like David did. Give your situation to God and wait for him to show you the path that we should take. And as David did, declare that God is your stronghold, he is your peace, he is precious safekeeping, as we wait, proclaim his promises that he will see you through. Wait for patience and for strength. Pray for it. Pray that God will reveal the next step or the next season. Pray that your heart will be open to work that God wants to do through the current circumstances. Pray for transformation. Pray for renewal. The next thing is make a habit of trust. To trust in him each day, one day at a time, little by little. Psalm 68:19 says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord our God and Savior, who daily bears our burden. Trust in each day, one day at a time. I read a reading for a person whose daily prayer was basically, Lord, help me not to give up today. I might give up tomorrow, but help me not to give up today. Help me to trust you today. The next thing is to remember his past provisions and his protection of you. Whether that means keeping a prayer journal to remind you or whatever it is that you do to remember. Remember what it is that God's done for us. You're familiar with Philippians 4:6-7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And in the peace of God which transcends understanding will guide your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, when we present our request to God with thanksgiving, not only are we expressing our gratitude, not only are we remembering to say thank you, because of course we love it when people say thank you to us, we need to remember to thank God. But as we do that, we're also actively reminding our hearts and our spirits of what God has done, of what God can do. And we fan that flame of faith, which is often beginning to fade. A faith that allows us to trust his timing. We need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. Again, and this is a Facebook post I got from Jim. I love it when God just lines things up and they just appear in my inbox, preparing for the day. Okay? And part of the post said that somebody sent me a photo saying, never stop, never stop, never stop. Never stop telling yourself the story of God's faithfulness. How true and how important. As we continue to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, it keeps things in perspective. It releases hope and grace and strength. Being able to get through whatever it is you're facing isn't dependent upon us. It is dependent upon our awesome God's faithfulness. During hard times, one of the biggest temptations we face is the lying voice of the enemy. He tries to whisper that God is concerned about what we're facing. He especially tries to use this lie that if our situation isn't changing, or maybe getting worse, clearly God has given up. He tries his best to make us believe that God isn't hearing or answering our prayers. We must not believe the lie. God is always at work, most often in ways that we cannot see or understand. He never abandons us. He always cares. He is always continued by our side. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who called you is faithful. He will surely do it. So the next thing is to continue to walk in faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Remember that picture that? Our understanding and the makes of God. Trust in his plan. Trust in his sovereignty. And the next one says, surrender to the process. Sometimes the length of time we have to wait isn't due to the scale of the challenge. It's just due to the scale of what God wants to do in our own lives. For me, in my life story, these are things that, you know, as I've journeyed with God, I've had to work through. And I literally had the time where God said to me, are you ready to go in the cave yet? And what I realized, God showed me the picture of, is that basically in my life, it was like this mountain. and I would walk around the mountain, and I would come to the cave, and God would say, "Are you ready?" And I'd be honest, I would say, "No." And I would walk around the mountain, "Are you ready?" "No." Until one day, God said, "Are you ready?" And I was like, "Okay." And it was only then. See, sometimes the waiting is actually about picking up more than what's going on around us. The challenge is to accept God's process and to take seven and understand that it will take time. When God is working, change in our lives, we're carrying through a particular challenge. It may take time to fill that process. But Philippians reminds us that we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. See, God is more interested in transforming us than he is in transforming our situation. We have to start starting the process and surrender to God in our heart, submit to God's timeline and the process. Psalm 37 says, "Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in your way, when they carry out your wicked schemes." All of these are steps that we can take as we seek to wait on God. I also want to share another one. I didn't actually find this one, but this one has been such a part for me. And that is to walk together. Surround yourself with other believers who will walk alongside you and strengthen you and encourage you. As I said, in a few days' time, I tried to try out to join YWAM Romania in the city of Constanza. As I waited throughout this past year, God certainly been doing a lot of different things in my life. It was like, "Okay, God, are you done? Can I go back to it? Are you done? Can I go back to it? Apparently you can go back now." But as I did that, so many people sitting in this room have walked alongside me, have supported me, have encouraged me, have blessed me, have modeled faithfulness to me. That's how I was able to continue to wait until I reached the time. I also just want to take this opportunity to thank you. It's his faithfulness and it's his hope that's been modeled it. I've learned to understand more and more. It's that hope that's carried me. It's that hope that I'm committed to take and to share with the Turkish Gypsy and the Romney Gypsy children in Henry Chamber during Constanza. Last week, Sue stood over there and she shared with us the stories of children of her group ministries too. Here in Pakturu, here in Mangarea. And I was struck by their struggles and how much they remind me of the hopelessness and the challenges that children that I will be ministering to face. The children here carry the same despondency, the same lack of hope for any sense of the future. But sadly, in their circumstances, this is also multiplied by a society that literally hates them because of their race, because of their ethnicity. An education system that, in all honesty, does not want them in the schools. It is enhanced by a cultural belief that people have no value and that they are a commodity to be bought and sold, literally. Particularly the young girls who are forced to marry and become mothers as young as 12. It's into this darkness, it's into this despair that we are well on hope to bring light and to bring hope. It's into this place that I want to go and I want to minister and see Jesus. We want to reach out our hands so in turn they can place their hands and we'll lead them and guide them. And as always, as I'm up here and I'm going to take this opportunity, I'm always looking for people who will partner with me, who will walk alongside me in that journey, personally, financially. And I'd like to be able to do that not with me in Romania, but as us in Romania. And if you want to know more about that, come talk to me after service. I've probably got my little booklet which tells you a little bit more of what we're doing. But as we come to a close, to go back to our beginning, the saying goes that timing is everything. I think we should reconfigure that and say God's timing is everything. Let's learn to hold on to his timing, to trust his timing, to walk in his leading, even when it doesn't make sense. Then like David in Psalm 41 and 2, we will be able to say, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." It's going to take some time now, and we're going to pray, and I'll lead us in prayer, obviously, but I just want to encourage you, if you're waiting, if there's something in your life that you're waiting on God for, we want to stand with you, we want to encourage you, we want to share God's faithfulness with you. But right now, we just want to stand together, as we pray, and pray for each other, and pray for those situations that we wait upon. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that, Lord, your timing is perfect. And Lord, I know for some of those that are here today, Lord Jesus, that timing seems such a long way off. Their hope light beginning to dim. But Father God, we just continue to lift each other before you. We lift those situations before you. Lord, burn into flame that faith, that hope, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you will. In the appointed time, when the time is clear you are, you will do what it is that you promised you will do. And in the time of waiting, Lord Jesus, may we know your presence. May we know your hope, that hope and that peace that passes understanding. But as we sit in the place where Jesus is waiting, we also sit with our hands in yours, close to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can always rely upon you, that you never ever fail. Thank you, Lord. Amen.